Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
And welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of America's freedom-loving gun owners. And we've got Scott Bach in the house today.
Big news to discuss.
Huge news.
There seems to be a tide of energy flowing from one coast to the other.
Yes,
and
sir.
New Jersey is in the spotlight of it all. And I am so, so proud of my 2A brothers and sisters from California to Connecticut to
Amen.
New Jersey.
Amen.
And our listeners and everyone else out there and all our supporters. I was reminded yesterday, too, I want to thank everyone that that voted for me so far for NRA Board of Directors. There's been a slew of people posting and cross-posting and everything else. And I want to thank you all. And I know a ton of you have been bullet voting, and it's going to be very interesting to see what the results are come April. So, again, I want to thank you all, and I hope I can make you proud. Now, speaking of NRA board members, Executive Director of the ANJRPC, which is the state NRA, and our chief cook and bottle wash when it comes to all things 2A in New Jersey is Scott Bach. Hey, Scott.
Hey, great to be back.
We love you here, and we're really energized with our Drake case.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we're waiting to find out if the Supreme Court will hear it, correct?
Yes, that's what's going on right now, is we have asked the U.S. Supreme Court to hear that case, but that is actually the culmination of the last 3.5 years' worth of work. We've gotten to the point where we can ask the Supreme Court to do that. Look, we've talked about this before, Anthony. I believe that right to carry is rising in the United States, and in the 2014 to 2015 timeframe, we are going to have this issue resolved for the entire country. I believe the Drake case has an excellent chance of being that vehicle. All of the cases that have preceded it, the Supreme Court has turned down, and there's a lot of speculation about why that is. Nobody really knows for sure, but what we do know now is that the Drake case, which talks about New Jersey's carry law, it's a challenge to Jersey carry law, presents probably the most compelling case, number one. Number two, a lot of time has passed, and so all the lower courts have rendered all these differing and conflicting opinions, which is when the U.S. Supreme Court gets involved, one of the times they get involved is when there's a split among other lower federal courts. And so we have different courts saying different things. We have different courts applying different standards to the whole right to carry issue. Some people are saying, well, all you need is a rational basis to the government can just says, well, we just have to articulate a reason why we want to regulate carry, and that's enough. Other courts have said, no, we need something called intermediate scrutiny. It's a constitutional buzzword. It just means there's more scrutiny given to government restrictions on a fundamental right. Bottom line, that has been pretty well fleshed out. It is very obvious that there's a split among the lower courts, and this comes right at the moment when we have our Drake case pending. And to boot, in this past week, we had a number of organizations and groups filing friend of the court briefs on our petition. It's called a cert petition, but it's our petition asking the court to hear the case, not on the merits of the case, but people weighing in on the question of should the Supreme Court take this up. There's a brief that was filed on behalf of members of Congress.
34 members so far.
Yes. There's a brief filed on behalf of attorneys general from multiple states.
19 so far.
That's,
now, did this happen with Heller and McDonald also?
It definitely happened after the case was taken up. As to whether it happened on cert, I don't think so.
So this is really, really
this is incredible.
Important.
There's a lot of momentum we're seeing. And now with the Ninth Circuit ruling, in whoever expected that, and it was a very strong ruling in California.
Incredible ruling. It's really one that will play into our cert petition to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Supreme Court will be well aware of what just happened in the Ninth Circuit when they consider whether to take our case.
Perfect timing.
Yes.
Especially when they read
Perfect
the opinion.
Timing.
Just reading
Perfect
the opinion,
timing.
Scott and I were talking off air before.
The judge Darren Mood O'Scanlan said that the policy abridged the right to bear arms in self-defense recognized by the Supreme Court in 2008 in Heller. Okay? He wrote that, all right? And this is, to me, this is unbelievable. The presiding judge also concluded that the right to bear arms in self-defense could not rationally be limited to the home. This is the Ninth Circuit.
This is California.
And Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
This plays right in, and Scott, I'm overly excited for this. You seem to be, I mean, were you jumping and dancing when this came out?
Well,
tell me.
I wasn't jumping and dancing, but I'm excited, Anthony. It's been a long time since I've jumped or danced.
Okay. Yeah, who are we talking about here?
All right, sorry about that.
But look,
he danced.
You have to take this, you have to take this for what it is. This is a middle federal court. This is a three-judge panel. So that means two judges out of the entire Third Circuit, okay, which, you know, doesn't necessarily mean those are liberal judges who found that. You know, this is their decision. The likely next step in the Ninth Circuit is they're going to move for what's called a rehearing en banc, which means they'll get all the judges of that circuit together and have another vote on it. So we could be looking at, and this is not to denigrate. This is a fantastic decision. It's one we wish we had come out of the Drake case when it was before the Third Circuit.
Right.
But bottom line is, there's going to be another shot at this by the same level of court, we expect. Okay, that's what, you know, the conventional wisdom about what they're going to do is they're going to ask for a rehearing, and we could watch the full Ninth Circuit throw the thing out, which, by
now,
the way—
How many judges are in that?
I think it's at least 12.
Okay.
Okay, so, but either way, it helps the Drake case because— If one court, you know, the point is asking the Supreme Court to hear a case is not about ultimately the merits of the case. You have to show the Supreme Court that there's confusion in the lower courts that needs to be resolved by the highest court. So merely getting this great decision feeds into what they'll do on Drake.
And if you read the decision, how many times did they say, look at how much confusion there is? We do not agree with the Third Circuit or the First Circuit or the Second or the Fourth, right? It was the first, second, third, and fourth? Yeah, I can't remember.
It's Maryland, it's New Jersey, it's California.
The Supremes are watching this. Are they going to look at it when they look at Drake?
Well, yes, and they've looked at three cases before, but they have not said yes, we'll hear it. What's happened in the time since those cases have been heard is there's been a lot more confusion that's evident.
Now, let me ask you something. Those three other cases before that they declined to hear, did other states and congressmen sign on to them like this?
I don't know the answer to that, but I don't think so.
Okay.
There seems to be look, right to carry is the holy grail, okay, for gun rights. And it's the next logical step after Heller and McDonald. There seems to be a surge building around Drake, okay? And that's in part due to the timing. It's in part due to the strength of the Drake case, the plaintiffs that we picked in the Drake case. I mean, it's a pretty phenomenal case. A tremendous amount of effort went into building a case. The other thing is New Jersey's carry law are distinct from every other carry law in every other state in the country.
Correct.
There are a handful of others that have something similar to justifiable need.
Well, New California is they have to show good cause.
Right. But the difference is there are some key differences. One is their definition of good cause is not nearly as extreme as our definition of justifiable need.
It's more capricious too there, right? I mean, one sheriff can in the counties, let's say in Northern California, can be very liberal with awarding, you know, carry permits, where somebody in San Diego County would not necessarily have to be like that.
Yes, but there's another key distinction that doesn't exist anywhere in the United States that's unique to New Jersey, and most people don't even realize this, but a carry permit in New Jersey, which is almost impossible to get, cleanses all possession of firearms.
If you
don't have one, the default position, we all know New Jersey begins by banning everything there is to do with firearms, including possession. And the only way someone following the law can, quote, legally possess is if you fit into the really narrow, stingy exemptions. The exemptions that should have exonerated Brian Aitken but didn't. So if you don't fit into that little box that the law puts you in, mere possession is illegal. A carry permit is the only thing that cleanses that. So we're not talking carry.
Which in New Jersey they refer to as the permit to possess.
Yes. Or Evan Knappen calls it the permit to possess, and it has been referred to throughout New Jersey law and case law. But the point is, nowhere is a permit to carry, which is impossible to get, required to cleanse basic possession. Basically, exercising your fundamental right to possess a firearm could land you in jail for up to 10 years in New Jersey.
Yes. Yes.
Unless you either A, have a carry permit, or B, if you can't get a carry permit, like most folks can't, you fit into the little narrow exemptions. Well, I was going directly from my home to the range. Oh, I'm sorry. I was getting chest pains and I stopped at the hospital. I didn't realize that I became unlawfully in possession of a firearm the moment I stopped because my travel no longer was direct.
Right.
You know, I mean this is something that Evan and I cite to all the time, is that you could stop for food, fuel, or medical treatment on the way to the range with a locked, unloaded handgun in your trunk
and still be a felon.
And go to jail for 10
mandatory.
Years.
Mandatory.
Well, minimum mandatory is 7. That's the default.
Wow.
With a maximum of 10. And everybody out there who goes, oh, well, that could never happen. That doesn't really happen. That might be. We have Brian Aiken.
Talk to Brian Aiken.
Now, Scott, New Jersey has a certain amount of time to file their own brief, correct?
Yes.
Do you know if it's being worked on?
It is being worked on.
They are filing. Yes.
Yes, they are. And it's due in the middle of March.
Great.
And look, this is going to be, this is one of the most interesting things I'm watching for, because the government, the Attorney General of New Jersey, or two different attorneys general, okay, Paula Dow and then Jeff Chiesa, each weighed in on this case, the Drake case, at earlier phases. And both of those attorneys general said two things. Their brief said two things. Number one, Second Amendment does not exist outside the home. They adopted this far left extreme contorted view of Heller and McDonald. The other thing they both said in their briefs was, it's the government's duty to protect the public from law-abiding citizens with firearms.
Yes.
Basically, that law-abiding citizens with firearms pose a danger to the public at large. It'll be very interesting to see what the new attorney general has to say in the middle of March.
I want to pick up on this when we come back.
Well, everybody knows the Second Amendment ends at your front door. I mean, all of the founding fathers left their muskets home.
And the police are there to protect you.
Of course.
And I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against the state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law, the bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
It's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment's being brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic.
Waldorf Chiropractic, waldorfchiro.com. Dr. Eric is coming on in a show or two. He wants to discuss some stuff. with the services and products that he offers. He's located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Doc has his own book called Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. His Facebook page is Waldorf Chiropractic. Also, please support those that support us. He gets a ton of customers from the 2A community that listen and support to the show, and I would love to have more go down there. Send a Doc an email and thank him for his support. We really can use it. Again, he's an NRA Life member, ANJRPC Life member. He's the kind of guy we want in our corner. Stop giving your money to people that are using the profits to fight us,
yes,
like this Drake case.
Right.
Now, back on the Drake case, Scott, here's one of the things that's bothering me is, so what do you think the language is going to be with the, our current attorney general?
I don't know. Okay. I believe that if the attorney general does what it did before, you know, there's going to be an outcry in the Second Amendment community. I believe it's going to have an impact on the 2016 presidential race and potential candidates.
Perfect timing for this.
For that race. I don't believe they're going to do whatever they do out of political motivation, however. You know, my hope is that they've seen the light. We've certainly weighed in as much as possible behind the scenes to put the prior briefs in perspective. They basically have adopted the far left extreme, let's rewrite Heller and McDonald view, what I've called the judicial conspiracy on this show, to limit Heller and McDonald, to just declare, right, well, because the law in Heller dealt with possessing inside the home, that the right of self-defense is somehow limited to inside the home under Heller, which is absurd.
So if they come back with an ultra-left view, if someone in the state was to run for president in 16, it's going to come back and bite them in the proverbial ass, because 44 other states have right to carry, and they're not going to, you know, he already has the 50 cal egg on his face because he said he would ban it, then he didn't. But it could actually hurt the governor with his higher political aspirations,
look,
correct?
Sure. Let me say, the attorney general is not controlled by the governor. There is a line of separation there, and the default position of the state, I'm not making excuses for anybody, I'm
but
just
Scott,
saying
this
the default
is New Jersey.
The default position in the state is to defend laws that are under attack. Now, interestingly enough, I'm sorry, to defend existing law. Okay, that the attorney general, part of their job is to defend the law that's developed. Now, interestingly enough, in January, we had that case where retired law enforcement were trying to get carry permits, and the state sat that one out. They didn't weigh in and defend the law as it applies to retired law enforcement.
Correct. And
so,
and arson investigators.
It's not clear to, that's right. It's not clear to me whether that represents a sea change coming out of the Attorney General's office, or whether in the context of law enforcement they weren't willing to enforce it. Time will tell. But the bottom line is that although the Attorney General is not controlled by the governor, certainly if something like that comes out of the administration, it will get scrutiny by pro-gun folks, as well as anti-gun folks, too. But, you know, look, this is our moment, okay?
I was just going to say, it looks to me like everything's lining up because, you know, our governor has to worry about higher political aspirations. We have 19 to 20 states signing on. We have 34 congressmen signing on, and it's going to continue to snowball. We have this Ninth Circuit decision. I mean, wow. And the other thing I want to get into right now is our brothers north from here, literally what could be possibly up to 350,000 law-abiding citizens said
I will not comply.
Okay, because only 50,000 people registered their so-called assault rifles under the Connecticut Act. Okay,
50,000 sheeple.
50,000 sheeple registered them, and they estimate anywhere from 100,000 to 350,000 people.
God bless
that possess
you guys.
And didn't.
Absolutely, it's coming down to this. We said this last year. We got a lot of shit for it. Excuse my language, but we got a lot of crap for this because we said there's going to be a line in the sand that a lot of us are just not going to cross.
No.
It's going to be, this is it. I've had enough of it. I won't take any more of it. You've taken everything that you can away from me. From this point forward, I will not comply.
You know, somebody asked me my opinion of it, and I said, if that happened in New Jersey, I'd be the first one on the lawn of the State House saying, here it is. Yep. I ain't registering it. grab my ass and lock me up because I'm not going to register it. And that's what up to 350,000 people did in Connecticut. And Scott, I know you're not an advocate of breaking the law and everything, but, you know, people get pushed to their back against the wall, and this is what's happening now. And this is the groundswell we see that's happening in New Jersey.
This country was built on civil disobedience.
Correct.
And one of the things that you have to give them props over is the fact that everybody said, and you see the power of unity when we get together and we do things as one body and say, no, we're not going to do it. What are they going to do? Put 300,000 people. What was amazing to me was the fact that the legislators were surprised at this. They were surprised. They're not complying. What will we do now?
They don't know what to do.
No, they
I've been
don't.
Reading all of the articles.
They really
I've
don't
been
know
following
what to
it.
Do.
They don't know. Should we pass another law?
Yeah.
Should we give it another time
they
limit?
Don't know
should we
what
an extension?
Right.
Well,
they don't know what to do.
What
they
will probably do is make an example out of somebody to try to scare everybody else.
Correct. Like the IRS thing. You know, there's always some celebrity who's going to be locked up and have their stuff taken away.
You know, but it could backfire. The person they make the example out of could become the martyr.
Could be the wrong person.
That's true. You're right.
The person you're going to make the example
out
of could become the martyr.
That's right.
And everybody's going to get out there and they're going to all run around the prison or the county block up, and it's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
Well, and on the topic of people following the law, Anthony, I'm sure you know this. I'm sure you know it too, Sandy, but most law enforcement officers are bound to comply with, quote, all lawful orders.
Correct.
Which implies some discretion on their part.
Yeah.
Okay. And it also implies that if a law enforcement officer regards an order as unlawful, they don't have to follow it. There's a lot of folks in law enforcement that feel that way. So
the older guys do, Scott. You know, what's interesting is, you know, talking to some of my friends who are in law enforcement, the retired guys are starting to speak out now. The one of the things that's been my kind of sticks in my craw is the militarization. This is gradual militarization of the police, of the local police forces. And coming from in another world, in another life, having inside knowledge of what the federal machine is really like, to see this happening on a local level, it's something that, you know, kind of frightens me a little bit. But the older guys are speaking up about this, but what bothers me a little bit is the younger guys don't know any better.
Right.
They really don't.
They don't know any better. This is the way they've grown up, so they have never really tasted true freedom. I don't think our generation really has tasted true freedom.
Correct. You know, a year ago, we were so downtrodden with the 84 bills in New Jersey, which ended up turning into nothing after all of the unity and activism. I mean, a few bills did go through. But the other thing scares me, Scott, is if we do get right to carry, then our current legislators are going to write our right to carry bills into law, correct?
Well, yes.
Sweeney and Van Drew.
Well, here's the deal, and this is what we are doing some long-term planning on, meaning ANJRPC. The way this would likely come down is the law would be stricken. The case might be sent back to the lower court judge, but there will be a time period within which New Jersey would be forced to rewrite its carry laws.
Yes.
So the existing law would be stricken, probably would continue in effect for a period of time until its final demise were in, to give the legislature a period of time. And that is going to be the game of this decade, is going to be getting a constitutional carry law passed in New Jersey, because their first default position is going to be, the antis are going to be outraged.
Yes.
And they're going to seek to do what Illinois did in the past, which is write something that is as close to the line, if not over it, that makes it virtually impossible.
Which was deemed unconstitutional.
But it took how many years?
Our legislators, could you imagine, they're going to have to send Maynard to kindergarten to learn English so he can help write the bill?
Look, here's the thing. The thing is, while Governor Christie is in office, I think we have a unique opportunity.
Yes,
and I don't want to say more than that, but it's going to force compromise on the side of the antis, is my belief.
Which brings me around to a question. What can our listeners, now you've got well over a million people. Last week we were close to 2 million. So well over a million people are listening right now, and these are all gun owners. You guys are, we have a family
of
listeners.
We need your support outside New Jersey, too.
Yes, because if you guys go and read the Ninth Circuit decision, So many references have been made to New Jersey, New Jersey, New Jersey, New Jersey. And we are really a petri dish for both sides, really, right? But especially for
a festering petri dish.
Yes.
Septic.
Where you do not want to break this bad boy. You know, I'll liken it to what they call level 4 at CDC, where they keep all the really bad shit.
Well, here's why not just everyone in New Jersey, but everyone in the United States should be supporting this effort. It's for the same reason that was articulated by the state of Wyoming that wrote the brief for all the attorneys general. And they basically said, if the existing case law on Drake, the lower court decisions on Drake, are allowed to stand, they could shape, they could pave the way for that style of law throughout the entire country.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, right. it could legitimize it. Right. And so their interest in the case from other states is to say, hey, Supreme Court, you got to nip this in the bud because we are
we
not going to tolerate
it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So everybody needs to get behind this effort. I mean, the Drake case was brought by the Second Amendment Foundation. That's Alan Gottlieb's group. ANJRPC is a co-plaintiff in the case. We are obviously doing a huge amount of work on the ground. We are preparing for what the new carry law would be. You know, we have contingency plans going out in many different directions on this.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could get, if we could set the stage in New Jersey for something good for a change to now force other states to go to constitutional carry, point to New Jersey and go, Christ, if it's done over there, we should be able to do it.
That's
here.
Right. Or looking at it a different way is that the gun haters got so extreme that they cooked their own goose.
Yeah.
Listen, whoever would have thought Wyoming would be backing us up?
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
Whoever would have thought states like Wyoming would have been backing
right.
us
but,
up?
But again, it proves our point. They get it. They get it. They don't want our crap flushing over toward Wyoming.
Right. And I can tell you at this point, even if the Drake case didn't exist, the Peruta case in the Ninth Circuit
right.
in California
right.
would have their attention as well. So in other words, there are people who say, well, why was this New Jersey case even brought? The answer is it's one of 8 or 9 cases. There were other cases brought in other anti-gun jurisdictions. The minute Heller and McDonald were passed, it ensured that this issue was going to be heard.
Right.
So for those people who are saying, oh, we should have sat down and shut up and done nothing, the answer to that is no. If we sat down and did nothing, then somebody unqualified would have brought the case
Correct.
In New Jersey
Correct.
Or in yep. Massachusetts or yep. Illinois or wherever
and
would have
Myers
done
have come
terrible
up
damage.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that space was created and we have occupied it. We didn't create it, but once Heller and McDonald came, we knew it needed to be done quickly. It needed to be done correctly. And I mean, look, a lot of energy has gone into the Drake case.
All right, so how can our listeners help? I mean, is there a website that they can go
send
to
money.
Donate? How to send money? Is there an easy way? Do we need to create something for them?
We would encourage donations to ANJRPC, Second Amendment Foundation, NRA as well. NRA actually put in a brief in support of this. And if certiorari, if the Supreme Court agrees to hear the case, you'll be seeing a lot from NRA. So, I mean, right now, certainly the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs needs all the support it can get. We're working
How
on
How do we get money
multiple
to ANJRPC?
Fronts. It's on our website, the donation.
Okay.
It's anjrpc.org. You'll find there's donation pages and buttons on our website.
Now, if I write a check, can I put on the bottom of the check in the memo that it's to go to the
Absolutely.
This particular cost?
Absolutely.
Drake
you
case
can,
Drake.
You
from
can,
Gun and for it, Hire Radio.
And it will. Okay, absolutely. You can. I will say Alan Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation were the driving force of this case initially, and they are certainly deserving of recognition and support. I mean, they're doing a tremendous amount of work nationwide on Second Amendment law generally, not just the carry issue. So that's where we are. It's an exciting time. I mean, listen.
Yes, it is.
It
I mean,
is.
I'm
it
energized.
Really is. I didn't think last year when we were having a discussion of this sort that we would see what we're seeing today.
But
it's like
just,
the stars are lining up.
You said it again, and I said that too. It's like there's synergy, you know, when you put certain things together and you create more energy. just between Drake and the civil disobedience, I will not comply in Connecticut. And the California 9th District case, all of this happening at the same time, and our governor having higher political aspirations. To me, it's like, wow. And then, Scott, I know you don't like to take credit for it, but I know you're a big driving force behind all of this, and you have been for the past 3.5 years, let's face it. And, you know, I read that Drake brief, and I see a lot of you in there. And I just think it's great that we have you at the helm, that you're pushing this. And what should we do not to screw this up? What should we refrain from doing?
Well,
I know people have been picking on Steve Sweeney, and talk to me a little bit.
Well, look, the real issue, like I said, for New Jersey, okay, look, should we take
this
after the break?
Let's talk about the cold cut king when we come back.
The cold cut king, yeah. We should talk about Thumann's cold cuts on the way back. This being sponsored by Thumann's cold cuts. Okay, we'll be right back.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers in each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have 3 times as much light downrange that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have 2 smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house, with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids, and the wife will stay in the cafe with 1 or 2 kids, and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high end. We used marble and Corian and really nice tile and full length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom. Keeping you informed of the threats to your freedoms with news, issues, and commentary you'll never hear from the mainstream media. You're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of America's freedom-loving gun owners.
And this segment is brought to you by MontvilleOffice.com, also known as Montville Executive Suites on Facebook. Owner Ron Sousa owns this kick-ass work campus of offices and high-end conference rooms and kitchenette and faxes and emails and computers and billing and purchase orders. MontvilleOffice.com. Get your virtual office for $59 a month, you cheap bastards. Stop using your mother's basement and get over there and start getting some virtual office space. No long-term
commitment.
Nobody
does commercials,
all right?
Like us.
Thank you. Listen. a public service announcement from Colandro for NRA, C-O-L-A-N-D-R-O, F-O-R-N-R-A.com is my website.
Right. There are the Amazing final, how he segued right into that one. Right?
The final ballots are being mailed out this week. It's over. That's it.
I voted mine, too, I don't know if they can see through the hole.
Bullet vote Colandro for NRA.
I hope they understand.
I was endorsed by ANGRPC, Ammo Land, Gun Rights Examiner, AR15.com, the Firearms Coalition, Federation of Sportsmen in New Jersey. Across the board, I was endorsed.
Everyone except for your mother.
My mother did not endorse me.
There's still time, Anthony.
She said I'll shoot my eye out. Okay.
So that should say something.
What I want to say is a lot of people have been attacking Sweeney. We know what his stance is already. Let's just leave it alone right now, and let's focus on the Drake case getting picked up by the Supremes.
Let me say this. Knowing what's coming, that the legislature is going to have to rewrite the law on this issue if things go our way, now is not the moment to be sticking a microphone in anybody's face saying, where do you stand on right to carry? Because we don't want to box them in into a corner they might have to back away from in a couple of years. Okay. Yeah. Look, a good politician can talk his way out of any corner, but you know, that's not what ANJRPC is doing right now. Our task is not to try to embarrass and humiliate people that we're gonna have to work with. I mean, we'll hold their feet to the fire when that needs to be done. But we don't see what is served by boxing them in today on something that is probably going to come before them in a couple of years.
We just won on A823 in Trenton, right? The defaced firearms bill?
Right. That was a bill that came up out of nowhere. It came up actually first a few years ago. Here's a bill that starts with a good intention, okay? It started with a cop who was murdered by a thug who had a defaced firearm, okay? The serial number was rubbed off the firearm. And so this bill sought to enhance the penalties for defacing a defaced firearm against a law enforcement officer, which we certainly didn't object to, but it enhanced the penalties for, quote, defacing a firearm to the point where you could go to jail for 7 to 10 years. Now, so far it sounds like, all right, well, what's wrong with that? Well, the answer is the way New Jersey's defacing statute is worded. Basically, if your firearm rusts or is refinished, that could be deemed to be, quote, defacement. So, look, we sounded the alarm on this in 2012. We were promised those concerns would be addressed. They never were. It's a new legislative session. The bill came up again. This time, gun owners spoke with one unified voice, and when we walked into the committee hearing room, they had our amendments our suggestions were integrated right into the bill. So our objections were addressed. The bill's moving on, does not in its current form pose a threat to legal gun owners. And that is a testimony to the work of all the folks out there who were willing to once again, even though it seems fruitless or
make
pointless,
those phone calls,
make the phone calls,
the letters,
emails. They got the message. In fact, when I was thanking the committee, and it was Charlie Maynard, the chair of that committee, your friend, Anthony.
I like big butts, and I can't deny.
I remarked that, you know, that on
that
behalf of our—
big butts? Charlie, this is really great. I'm with you on that one.
Big booty freaks.
Big booty freaks. That's
so
good.
You remarked to Maynard.
Back to a dignified discussion. I remarked to the committee.
With this group, are you serious?
I remarked to the committee that, you know, that I was sure that they had heard from many of our members, and somebody on the committee said, "Oh, we've heard from all of your members," and I shot back, "Oh no, you haven't." So look, it was nice to have one come out of the box and get nipped right in the bud.
Yeah.
That does not mean we're out of the woods. It
Correct.
Does not mean it's going to be a repeat performance. Just this last week, the Star Ledger reported on Brian Miller and their plans, and you know, they're trying to box Sweeney in.
Yes.
If you saw the quotes, you know, about what they're talking about taking up 50 cal again. They're talking about doing another firearms ID bill.
You know, it's their whole game is the Overton window, right? They're going to throw as much shit as they can at you
and squeak a few through.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We'll feel happy. Scott, how many people in New Jersey have carry permits?
That is a great question, and until a few months ago, that was a complete mystery. Our lawyers in the Drake case, through some very clever maneuvering, actually got the state to tell us how many permits there were in 2011. Okay? Drum roll, please. just under 1,200.
Yeah, 1,195.
Okay.
Wow. I read it.
Just under 1,200.
So we were overestimating when we said 1,900.
Yes.
Well, but wait, there's more. That figure includes armored car employees and retired law enforcement. So the actual number of civilians, we don't know exactly, but it's likely to be far lower than that number. That number, even if you assume all of those were civilians, is 0.001% of the population.
Wow. Yes.
Now, ironically, if you look at the brief that came out of Wyoming, there are more people in Wyoming that have carry permits than do in New Jersey. Now, I thought Wyoming only had a few thousand residents altogether. Okay, now, no offense to people from Wyoming. I love Wyoming.
There's
I've been there.
People in
I've
Wyoming.
Climbed Devil's Tower. It's a great place. It really is a great place.
It really is
a
great place.
But seriously, there's more concealed carry permit holders in Wyoming than there are in the Garden State. It just proves the point. I mean, this is such a 1,195 or 96 is nothing.
Out of 8.8 million people.
It is
where
nothing.
Wyoming only has 500,000 people.
Right. I mean, that tells the whole story, okay?
Now, you also, what's your definition of justifiable need?
Okay, well, look, here's
it. Because Knappen says justifiable need is when you're dead, you get your posthumously sent to you.
Yeah, the short way of phrasing it is by the time you qualify, you're already dead.
Exactly.
Okay, the technical way to do it is justifiable need in New Jersey is defined as the urgent need for self-protection as evidenced by previous threats or attacks with no other way to deal with them other than by carrying a handgun. Okay.
How many hoops can we have?
Well, what that basically does is, and we all know another way that New Jersey's carry permitting system is unique from every other state in the U.S., is that two branches of government get to pass on your permit. Okay, the executive branch through the state police and the local police decide the initial part, are we going to grant your permit? And then if they say yes, you then have to go before a judge. So the judicial branch gets involved. The local prosecutor is notified and has an opportunity to oppose. So you have to jump through these two giant hoops. So this system is rigged. This system is designed so that the state can issue 1,200 permits, probably mostly to law enforcement, and then rubber stamp it and say, "Oh, you've had due process. We're not a no issue state. See, we've issued some permits."
And many of those permits are conditional permits that have to do with work.
Right.
So the armored car guy has to put his gun
it's
back.
Good, it's good between 2 and 4 p.m. and only if you're standing on one foot and clapping, you know, both hands with one hand tied behind your back.
Yes.
So look, why is this important? This is the heart and soul of the Drake case, is justifiable need. I mean, the idea is, if you have a fundamental right, why do you have to prove need to exercise it? Do I have to prove need in order to exercise the First Amendment?
Right.
Do you have to need to speak publicly or to worship?
No, our legislators should get approval to speak publicly.
Yeah, exactly right.
So, So it's an extreme standard. People need to know that, because here's what happens. The media talks about justifiable need. They never go into more detail. And to the average person who is not involved in the gun issue, it's like, well,
that sounds reasonable.
Sure. You just have to show need. Oh, you're carrying cash or you're in fear for your life. Self-defense is not justifiable need in New Jersey. So the media spins it and makes it sound like it's this ultra-reasonable, simple, gentle standard.
Sure, of course.
When what it is it's a...
Just apply for the permit.
It's a hurdle that makes it impossible for most average people to get it. And that's the heart and soul of right to carry. I mean, right to carry's time has come. I believe it's coming to the entire United States. The law is going to be clarified 2014 to 2015. I have a sneaking suspicion the Drake case out of New Jersey is going to be the one. Whether it is or isn't, there's a backstop there, several backstops.
Pantano.
The Pantano case in New Jersey, the Peruta case, the Ninth Circuit case in California. There's more coming. One way or another, this issue will be resolved.
The impending Connecticut arrest.
Right. Exactly.
There's going to be a groundswell. Scott said three years ago, New Jersey's going to go down kicking and screaming and get right to carry.
That's the only way it'll happen.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Well, just a few weeks ago, you heard living proof right here on the show about how defective a man stopper it is. One of our listeners, a big, burly male nurse, used his wife's lipstick bodyguard to drop a knife-wielding attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. The would-be victim went home safe and unscathed that night. His attacker? Well, he had to be carried away by ambulance, crying like a baby. So this Valentine's Day, in addition to the flowers, why not get her a gift that'll last her all year long and give her peace of mind and the power to stay safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. Get yours right here at the beautiful Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range or at lipstickbodyguard.com. But order today to get it for Valentine's Day.
Did I plug Calandra for NRA yet?
Calandra for NRA.
What were you saying about Miller, Scott, during the break?
Oh, just, well, look.
Crying Brian.
NRA just put in its friend.
I don't even want to mention his name.
Okay. Crying.
NRA just put in its friend of the court brief in the Drake case, basically saying to the Supreme Court, we agree that you should take up the Drake case. And Brian Miller was, Crying Brian, for apologies to Sandy, says, he was quoted in the Star Ledger. It says, Brian Miller, executive director of Heeding God's Call, a faith-based gun control group, said he wasn't concerned with the U.S. Supreme Court changing the Garden State's gun laws. Quote, we're not concerned. This suit is doomed from the start. Based on recent Supreme Court rulings, Miller said this afternoon, we're happy to have the NRA waste their money on this. Close quote.
Ah.
Now, you got to wonder what recent Supreme Court decisions
he's
referring
to. That's what
I'll tell you what decisions he's referring to. He's referring to Heller and McDonald.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. The antis actually cite to Heller and they pick the one or two sentences in Heller and McDonald that say that the Second Amendment's not unlimited and
thank
like every
you,
other.
Antonin Scalia.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we'll see who has the last laugh on that one.
Right.
I got a listener's question I want to talk about. He knows I'm going to murder his name already. His name is Michael Haji Kalakowski.
Great.
It's actually Michael Hakowski, H-A-J-K-O-W.
He knows who he is. Go ahead.
Michael Hakowski. I have a self-defense scenario that I've been discussing with one of my friends, and since we have some very well-trained people in this group, I would like to get your opinion. You're in a free state carrying concealed. You stop in a convenience store, and while you're getting coffee, someone walks in with a gun and says, no one move. He starts paying attention to the cashier, not you. You are less than 4 yards away with a clear view of the actor. Beyond the actor, you have a wall as a backstop. My gut reaction would be to draw my weapon and fire because I want decided how and when the gunfight starts. I also want the element of surprise and initiative on my side. My friend contends that he would just watch the guy rob the store unless he started acting weird because most times the guy is just going to take the money and leave and not shoot anyone, which is more correct. Well,
I know how I would answer that.
Go ahead.
dude, my gun is to protect me and mine.
You know, how many times have I said this?
My left hand.
How many times have I said this? If I was in 7-Eleven making a cup of coffee and two guys come in and rob the joint, I'm going to continue with my head down making the cup of coffee.
Absolutely.
If they announce everybody into the back room or
that's
everybody
empty
your pockets, then it's all over from that point. Now, Michael, listen to me. First thing you should do is you should get some form of legal insurance when you have a non-resident carry permit.
Yeah.
Now, I have Armed Citizens Legal Defense Fund. And Armed Citizens Legal Defense Fund, if someone's traveling in New Jersey and uses their gun, NAPIN is the counsel in this state that Armed Citizens Legal Defense assigns and pays up to $10,000 for a couple hundred dollars
but
a year.
But you know what they're not paying?
What?
For sponsorship.
That's correct.
So there's a place somewhere.
But I just want to get that out there. Sorry,
I know Bach.
That.
I right. got Bach's phone.
But
number.
You want to have your insurance, and if it doesn't involve you or yours, don't get involved. I understand that you want to pick the gunfight.
Yeah, but you're not a law enforcement
correct.
Officer. You don't have powers of arrest.
Correct.
You don't have powers of detainment.
You can't just spring up on somebody and
just
shoot them. If you miss or get a ricochet,
exactly.
you're done. Okay.
Can I weigh on this?
Go ahead. You're here.
Clint Smith of Thunder Ranch, who I trained with many years ago, used to say there is a lawyer attached to every bullet that's fired.
Oh, great.
So
statement.
True.
Okay. And I mean, apart from the law, apart from the rules, apart from having representation, the minute you pull that trigger, if you have to, your life is going to change.
Dramatically.
Okay.
Whether you hit someone or not.
Right. If you're lucky enough not to go to jail, if it happens to be New Jersey, where we don't have a right of self-defense outside the home currently, you know, you'll be lucky if you have any money left when they're done with the civil suit. So, there is a lot of wisdom to Sandy to what what you said. I believe to the firearm is to protect you and your own. And Clint Smith used to say something similar. It's you know everybody has the same chance to train and prepare to defend their lives. Not everybody exercises that chance, you know. And of course, always avoidance is always the best.
Now, Mike,
the best thing you can do.
Michael, there's a lot of things that you can do. If they're focused on robbing the place and you're making a cup of coffee or something, you should be setting yourself up, your position, blading your body, maybe taking a half step back to put the coffee machine as a little bit of cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a concealment, actually, not cover. But, you know, and then maybe, you know, getting your gun ready or whatever, or drawing it out and holding it at your side where they can't see it. So take advantage of that time. Don't just freeze, obviously, while you're thinking. But definitely don't just draw and arbitrarily fire towards the guy because you see the convenience store clerk getting robbed. Okay, but there are many, many things you can do to set yourself up in a much more defendable and defensive position while all of that is going on. Do you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Plus, think of all the free Snapple you could get out of the case while everybody's distracted.
Nice.
You know,
I'd go for the Slurpee, but go ahead.
Don't go to 7-Eleven at 3 in the morning.
Correct.
Well, no, but shit happens anywhere, any place, anytime. We all know that. Scott, you have other – there's most of the emails that people sent in were all asking the same questions, how the Ninth Circuit would play into effect and how what Connecticut and what's going on with the Drake case and everybody else jumping – I call it piling on the rabbit. Everybody's jumping on his brief, and we still have a ways to go. You know, New Jersey has a month to respond. The Supreme Court has about a month after that to make its decision. We're talking like mid-April, right?
We should know between April and June –
wow, I can't wait.
Whether the court will take up the case.
God,
and if
I'm
it
like
does, then it's off to the races. Okay? That's the race of the century.
When that case is heard, I want to be there every day.
We'll go with
I'm
our
getting me a ticky,
we'll
and I'm going to get there.
It's going to be one day.
I'm
going for the one day then. I mean,
good
I'm
luck.
Getting
good
in?
Luck. Yeah,
well, you can get tickets, right? They limit it to so many people, right?
You can get online through. You can get online 3 days before. And wait, there's a certain amount open to the public.
I know people. So it's really, really energizing to me, Scott. I can't thank you, ANJRPC, SAF, NRA, everybody. That we've taken this so far. It's just a phenomenal thing. You know, and then we have Pantano behind it. You know, Albert Almeida, his case is a decision has to be made in county court for his carry permit. He's willing to take this as far as Pantano also. So, you know, that's another backstop case behind it. Do you like the way Knappen wrote the Pantano, basically asking the courts, do you still beat your wife? Where there's no proper way for them to answer?
Knappen took a very, very creative approach in his brief. which is, it's interesting what's going to happen. I mean, look, I don't want anybody to be disappointed. I predict the New Jersey State Supreme Court
we'll
is going to slam right to carry. I believe the only reason they took up a right to carry case is because they know that Drake may make it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they want to articulate New Jersey's policy to try to save it. They want to create inertia against which the Supreme Court would have to overcome it. So,
but they keep using the same tired argument over and over again about public safety. You know, it is a detriment to public safety to have people with guns.
But Pantano is good because it's another diversion. It's another issue that has to be addressed that's out there. You know, we're poking the bear everywhere. We're poking him in the eye. We're poking him in the ass. We're lighting matches between his toes. You know, I mean, it's everywhere. It's just, it seems to me that we're approaching this point of critical mass where it's got to implode on itself. And out of the ashes is going to arise concealed carry in New Jersey. And it's going to ratify what really needs to be ratified for all 50 states. So Wyoming and Colorado and Kentucky are not scared shit of what's going on.
Anthony, so we're finally going to get a chance to use Overton window on our side?
Maybe, Sandy.
I agree, Anthony, with what you're saying. It certainly seems like the stars are lining up. And in New Jersey, we kind of exemplify achieving the impossible under incredible odds. You know, like we don't care what the odds are. We keep doing what we're going to do. And we never decide in advance what's going to happen. I do want to point out, however, that we're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court, and I think we've talked about this on this show. I have some reservations about where this court is going. Some of the decisions that have come out of it are very troubling.
Very frightening.
Okay, the Affordable Health Care Act was one of them.
Yeah.
All to say, the importance of doing this now, while we believe we have five pro-Second Amendment justices,
correct,
is critical. If we lose one of those five, you're going to see the court falling all over itself to rewrite Heller and McDonald and clarify them the other way. So,
absolutely. Yes, without a doubt.
So, look, anything can happen with this U.S. Supreme Court, and this country is going to have bigger problems if the U.S. Supreme Court finds that there's no right to carry. Okay, I will say I think the chances of that are slim, because when you look at how Heller reads and the fact that Heller couches the whole issue in terms of self-defense— As an individual fundamental right. Self-defense knows no boundaries. Your threshold of your front door is not where your right to defend yourself ends. So, I mean, I think I know where they're headed, but anything could happen with this court, and we live in dangerous times where, you know, I mean, if we could get decisions like we've seen, some of the ones we've seen coming out of the court, it's frightening.
But the good thing is, let's lighten this up a little bit. We have Alan Gora.
That was my light.
Alan Gora is going to be the one going before the Supremes, correct, Scott?
Yes, and I have to say, Alan.
And he's 2-0 right now before the Supremes.
He's involved in some of the other cases going on the way up that the Supreme Court turned down. But I have to say, people should read the brief that Alan Gora wrote in Drake, asking the Supreme Court.
267 pages. I read it 10 times already.
That is a phenomenal piece of legal work. It is great. I mean, there is greatness attached to that writing. It is worthwhile. You know, the brief itself is not all those hundreds of pages. The brief itself is probably 30 or 40 pages.
Yeah.
But
the rest is
masterful. It is a great piece of legal work, which is why I'm getting this sensation, too, that everything is falling into place just at the right moment. So.
Support the ANJRPC, support the NRA, support the SAF. Let them know the donations coming, that you heard it on Gun for Hire Radio.
Yeah,
if you guys make out a check,
is there a place on ANJRPC where they can specify a donation?
Row your boat. Put row, yeah, row, row, yeah, your boat.
We'll know what it means.
We do have an oar here today.
Scott,
one of the listeners,
Dan Grodovic and his good-looking 10-year-old son brought a row in today for Scott Bach. If you go on the Gunfire Radio website, you'll see they brought an oar, excuse me. It's got ANJRPC stickers on
news.
It and
that's
everything.
That's the good news.
So you're going to love it. So, Scott, thank you so much for coming out and helping to further energize us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So what's going on with Gun for Hire Academy?
You know what? We have all new CPR and RSO first aid classes. We have Build the Bear with Jimmy the Gun Guy. Knappen's next class here is May 9th. It's almost completely sold out. I have no idea what you're waiting for. Get here and spend a day with the master in disaster in New Jersey, and you will love it. Remember, if you're a member of the Woodland Park Range, members only, transfers are $5. $15 for Knicks, $5 for us. If you get another member to join, it's a $50 referral fee. We are celebrating our 10-month anniversary. We will be having a members-only year-end celebration for a one-year anniversary. You are not going to believe this. We have a defensive pen class, March 1st, the Kali family. We have about 20 urban pistol, carbine, and shotgun classes on. We have quick clot, first aid, AED, emergency medical response for the first aid officer. We have a prepping class that you're going to love. It's called Surviving the Storm and Preparing for the Storm. If you haven't signed up for any of these classes, check out our Camp 50 class, guys. Camp 50.
What is Camp 50? What
3 days of hell.
Ooh.
Okay? 3 days of hell. Look it up on our classes on our website. New website's launching in about 2 weeks also, by the way. I want to thank everybody for their support. I want to thank everybody for my NRA board run support. And Sandy, F you.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a CounterThink Media production. The music used in this broadcast is managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, Scott Bach, the Executive Director of ANJRPC and NRA Board Member, thank you so much, guys, for listening. And please support this Drake case. Make out a little check. Send it directly to ANJRPC. You'll find their information on their website. Thanks for your support. Keep this crap in New Jersey. Love you guys. See you next week. From sea to the shine.